I'm Rodrigo Blankenship, and you're listening to the Savage Pads Podcast.
Welcome to the Savage Pads Podcast, part of the UGASports.com Rivals Podcast Network. I'm your host, Doug Battle. This is part two of our three-part Bama Week series. And with College Game Day headed to Tuscaloosa this Saturday, who's better to join the show than College Football Hall of Famer and ESPN analyst David Pollack? David's going to break down Georgia's matchup with Alabama. Then, frequent guest of the show, Corey Amick, returns for our weekly Pick Six segment where we make picks, College Game Day style, for each of this week's biggest games. We've got a great show coming up, and we want as many dog fans as possible to hear this one. So we're giving away a few Chick-fil-A entree gift cards on Twitter. Simply follow at Savage Pads on Twitter and retweet our tweet highlighting this episode for your chance to win. These are for the Barnett Shoals and Alps Road Chick-fil-A locations. We've got a great show coming up. David Pollack, stay tuned.
Practice every day.
Man, oh man. Mono y mono.
He definitely 6 hour mods, me and myself. As close as we have right now to rope on.
When we scored, I honestly did not know where I was for about 5 seconds.
Early on, you could see with Jake, just like with Fran talking to.
Maybe one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the country.
And we got to keep feeding the running back.
I don't think we've yet to see the tight ends.
I think Georgia does a great job bringing pressure on third down.
Turn around 2 weeks later in the SEC championship, we look like a completely different team, and we made them look like a completely different team.
I mean, it's hard to get emotional thinking about it.
And it was my job to kind of get outside the corner. And
as soon as I let it go, I knew it was good.
From that point on, I kind of began to trust of Eric Murray as my quarterback.
The kid was just special.
Tyler Simmons, he was onside.
Everybody respects his specs.
That's what every Georgia fan should hinge their hopes on.
Alabama and Georgia are the best two teams in the country.
I feel like we are the true running back you.
I have great confidence that we're going to see the personification of Georgia football.
Welcome to the Savage Pads Podcast. College Football Hall of Famer and ESPN analyst David Pollack is on the line. David, man, you and the College Game Day crew are headed to Tuscaloosa this week, and we've got two top three teams in Georgia and Alabama getting ready for war as we speak. What are your expectations for this top five matchup that potentially has playoff implications?
Well, I mean, I know this is going to sound strange, but I don't know that there is a lot of playoff implications. The only way this is there's huge playoff implications is if the game is a blowout.
Yeah.
Because everything's still in front of either team. I mean, if Alabama loses to Georgia, it's I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's not the end of the world.
But right.
I think obviously playing competitive games, playing a competitive game is important. I think both teams will do that. But I mean, Georgia's defense obviously has been looking great. Alabama's offense has been looking great. You know, what's going to give? I think everybody's going to look at that Ole Miss game a week ago and say, oh, well, Georgia should do the same thing and have the same success.
Yeah.
Bro, fouls make fights. That's not – Georgia doesn't have a tailback playing quarterback.
Right.
You know, Georgia doesn't have a system where they go 9,000 miles an hour and they practice that every day, because that's got to be a part of your culture, not a week-to-week thing where you can just start, hey, everybody go fast. Yeah, no big deal. No, that's not how it works. So I think it – you know, two heavyweights going at it. The season's not going to be over for either one if they lose. I mean, but I'm definitely excited about the challenge and the matchup, especially this early in the season.
Yeah. In order for Georgia to win, they're going to have to get some pressure on the quarterback on Saturday. Mac Jones last week was just hanging out back there, it seemed like. And so I'm curious, with you being an expert in getting to the quarterback, how do you think Georgia's pass rush can create pressure going up against Alabama's vaunted offensive line?
It's the best pass rush I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got several things going for them. One, they got a double-digit sack guy, I think. I think Adam Anderson's that guy. He's definitely taken the next steps of being able to bend and turn the corner and get the quarterback. He's not put it all together yet. He's always had a great frame and good twitch and good length, and now he's starting to put it all together. And when you have a guy that can, you know, they can go get the quarterback without blitzing, it's a huge advantage, man. So I think you can do that. Azeez can do that. Travion inside can do that. I mean, just keep naming names. They have so many guys that can rush the pass, so they have so much depth that they can rotate across the defensive line front. Everybody gets to stay stay fit, stay fresh is the word. Stay fresh and not have to worry about playing 55,000 snaps. Everybody, there's very little drop off, if any, between guy to guy. And so I think the pass rush is definitely good. I think Tyson Campbell's also emerged as a corner that you can trust to play the number one wide receiver. So yeah, those are a couple things that are different than Georgia's teams in the past. I think if there's a weakness or a vulnerability, I think it's going to be interesting to watch the interior of the pass defense. And when I say that, I mean like Webb, Stevenson. Can those guys hold up? Because if I'm Alabama, that's where I'm going to attack this defense.
Right.
They've got Waddle in the slot. They can put whoever they want in the slot. They've got dudes again. If you're not watching, they've got plenty of firepower.
Yeah.
But the pass rush for Georgia is definitely as good as it's been in a long, long time. I'd have to pull back from the memory bank. First of all, I think Jarvis is the last guy to be a double-digit sack guy.
Yeah.
So it's been a hot minute, bro.
Yeah, it has been a minute. And I guess what we've seen in the past with Georgia, Alabama is that those aggressive blitz packages pay off against guys like Mac Jones. But like we've seen, Bama often has a cornerback in the wings with a different skill set. And in my interview with modern day coach Bruce Rawlinson a few weeks back, he warned dog fans about QB2 for Bama, and that's Bryce Young. With recent history evidencing how damaging backup Alabama quarterbacks can be to some of Kirby's most elite defenses, do you expect Kirby and Dan Lanning to prepare specifically for both quarterbacks?
Well, I think you have to, but the problem is with that is, man, you got to be dialed in on Mac Jones so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
You got to know what his tendencies are and what his strengths are. And so I think it's not always as easy. I think people say that, and I think they get confused and think it should be just easy to study for two quarterbacks. First of all, what do you know about him? I mean, he's a high school kid. He was a high
right.
school kid last year, so that's going to be a little bit more difficult. Jalen, you knew more about.
Yeah.
Tua, the same thing with the freshman coming off the pine, so it's hard to know, too much about him. But you better be ready for him. You better know he's a dual-threat quarterback that can take off. He's not a tall kid, but, man, he's an explosive kid. And they'll have packages for him, and I think it'd be more of a Tua game plan. It'll be more RPOs and, a quarterback that can obviously threaten you with his feet and make plays with his feet. But the thing is, not having a spring ball and the quarantine and not being able to practice with the team as much and be there as much, I would think that the QBs and the would be a little bit behind from a verbiage standpoint, knowing exactly what's going on. So it's not the same as it's been in the past, but it's uh-huh. definitely something to be leery of.
Yeah. Well, regardless of who's in at quarterback, it just feels like an inevitability that Bama's going to get theirs. Like, they're going to get some points, kind of similar to LSU a year ago. Maybe not that dynamic, but feels like they're going to get theirs. But what's not inevitable, and you kind of touched on this earlier, is what's going to happen between an Alabama defense that's been a huge disappointment so far this season, Alabama fans. And then on the other side, an inconsistent offense that Georgia's fielded in its first three games. I want to start with this Georgia offense. I mean, this is a Georgia team that I think you tweeted something out about this, that they got the ball in Tennessee territory twice to start the second half last week, and they were only able to conjure up 6 points in those possessions. At this point in the season, do you feel confident that this offense can score enough points to keep the Dogs within reach of a relatively high-scoring Alabama team?
Well, I think the problem is with our defense or with our offense is mm-hmm. they're young everywhere, and that's not a good thing.
No.
It's not a good thing to be young everywhere. You can't do what you want to do. From a standpoint of, next time you play Alabama in the SEC championship game, which will probably be,
yeah.
you'll be so much better prepared because there's just a lot of youth in front. There's a lot of youth at wide receiver. There's just a lot of things that are going to be broken in that are going to take time to evolve. And so I don't trust them yet to be, super dynamic and kill them and kill Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But I do trust. I like Stetson Bennett's grit. His ability to scramble, by the way, and make plays is really good. I think I would make that a part of the game plan with more zone read, with more design stuff to take advantage of that, because you've seen mobile quarterbacks for Bama a lot of time hurt him. And Stetson's a really good athlete. He's not like a decent athlete. He's a really good athlete. Mm-hmm. So it's a young unit that's growing, that's learning. I don't know how much it can do yet from a standpoint, you know, the whole gamut of plays and the whole things you want to accomplish, but mm-hmm. it's good right now. And if they can run the football, if they can play action, if Bennett can be a part of the wheel, Pierce Jackson continues to play well, and you attack the middle of the field, which Stetson loves to do. I think with Bama, you saw last week, there's a lot of plays to be made.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing this Georgia offense has going for them is the fact that they're playing a Bama defense that just isn't the same as Bama defenses in the past. I mean, this group gave up 647 yards to Ole Miss just a week ago. So we know Bama's got talent on that side of the ball. They always have.
We ain't Ole Miss, bro.
We ain't Ole Miss. So in your opinion, is it Ole Miss or what's the deal on defense for Alabama? I mean, I know that we're not Ole Miss, but it does seem like something's up on defense for Alabama.
No, I definitely think something's up, and the talent's not what it used to be. They're not as dominant in the trenches as they used to be. The secondary is pretty young, and obviously more young now with a targeting call and a more experience, which is beneficial, obviously, for Georgia. But it's a team that's going to continue to they're going to make you earn it most of the time. They're going to make life difficult on you, you know, a lot of the times. They're going to be physical, and they're going to be prepared for what you do, for sure. They're just not a unit right now. They, you know, their best pass rusher, I think, is a freshman. They're, you know, in the slot corners is a freshman. It's just a lot of youth that, you know, for them, I think they'll get better as the season goes on that side of the football as well. But again, when you couple that with no huddle, hurry up, and, you know, that's a recipe for disaster, mm-hmm. like last week with Ole Miss.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's certainly what we saw last week, and don't necessarily expect that kind of offensive performance from Georgia. But if Georgia gets enough offense to pull this one off, dogs are going to be sitting pretty, you know, as far as college football playoff is concerned. And that leads us to my last question for you, David. When Jamie Newman was next in line to play quarterback for Georgia, picked the dogs to win the whole thing, to win the national championship, and when Jamie peaced out and left Georgia with a lot of uncertainty at the quarterback position, you justifiably changed the pick to either Bama or Clemson. So having seen the Dogs play a few games with the mailman under center, how do you feel about Georgia's playoff hopes with what they have now?
I think their playoff hopes are still good.
Yeah.
But you're still telling me now, and again, I think Stetson Bennett's a really good player. I was actually at a wedding this past weekend. I don't know who gets married on a Georgia Saturday, by the way. That's a side note.
I'm surprised you went.
And we were all my wife, because I'm a good husband. I find myself being a good husband. But let's not get it twisted. I also had my iPad and my iPhone with me. So we were watching. Yeah. I go, baby doll, I'm going to go for sure to support you. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to be watching the game. That's obviously a critically important thing for me. So she was cool with that. But you have to be dynamic at the quarterback spot. And, you know, I think Stetson's done a great job. But obviously there's a lot more time for him to continue to grow and get better. But right now I definitely would put we can still make it. And we can still get to the Natty. There's no doubt about that. Or still get to the playoffs. But you're going to have to beat Lawrence or Fields. And that's going to be a tough proposition unless you get really explosive on offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking back with the teams Bama's lost over the years, I'm thinking, like, who was the last true game manager quarterback? And I know Stetson is an athlete, but it feels like most of Alabama's losses have been to Heisman contender types, guys like Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Johnny Manziel. So we'll see if Georgia can pull it off this weekend, and if not, you know, if they can do it in the SEC championship game, if they're fortunate enough to make it that far. But David, man, I know you're crazy busy, and I know I speak for all of the show's listeners when I say really appreciate you taking a moment of your time to talk specifically Georgia football.
No problem, my man. Have a good one.
I'll be a dog till I die. Till I die, till I die.
Woof. All right, now it is time for our pick six and extra point segment with returning guest Corey Amick. So, Corey, Georgia's now currently in its longest AP top five streak in school history, headed into its college game day matchup with Alabama. And I know the whole college game day thing, like, it kind of
makes people nervous. You know, people say rat poison and all this stuff, especially when Georgia gets picked. But I don't think the players pay attention to all that. And I know we do as fans, but, you know, at the end of the day, the game's going to be played on the field. And before the game's played on the field, we got to play our own little game off the field. And that's this segment, the pick six segment. So we're picking six games before going for the extra point, which is a score prediction for Georgia, Alabama. So on the season, I have 15 correct games and Corey has 11. I will say I should have 16. That Arkansas game, Arkansas beat Auburn. I swear they did. It was rigged, and I should have 16 points. But regardless, last week the upset that really shook up both of our, you know, our efforts was Texas A&M over Florida. We did not pick that one. We both kind of thought about it if you listen back to the episode, but ultimately we thought Florida was too hot. So we'll start with Florida this week, Corey. Number 10 Florida. They're hosting LSU, who has been very like hot and cold. They can put up points. Their defense is trash. They lost to Mizzou. They're LSU.
Yeah, this is – it's weird.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. It's weird to think about LSU just as an entity. And like in my head, I always still just picture this like 2011 LSU, like the same LSU that beat Alabama 9-6 in overtime of the BCS National Championship game. And I'm like, was that LSU? And then it's like,
wait, just to clarify, they beat Alabama 9-6 in the regular season. Yeah, and then they got smashed.
And they got smashed in the head. So it's like, I'm just imagining like this like old school LSU in my head of like terrible quarterback after terrible quarterback. And then it's like, here we are now in 2020. And then you know, last year with Joe Burrow and you know, the perfect season. So it's just funny to look at this game and, you know, think of how it's changed over the years. I think this year, I think Florida, if they can get two stops on defense, they win. If you look at the A&M game, I think like A&M scored touchdowns on 7 out of their 8 offensive drives. So like, I think if Florida can stop LSU twice, then they'll score enough points to beat LSU. But I mean, I think Dan Mullen's going to be angry that, you know, the board of directors isn't going to let him have a full 90,000
people. The swamp. Yeah, that was bizarre to me. I guess we're not doing Coach Speak of the Week this week, but if we were, this isn't really Coach Speak, but it's just funny thing that a coach said was Dan Mullen, for those of you that aren't familiar, like kind of complaining about how big Texas A&M's limited capacity crowd was and saying he wants 90,000 at Florida games for, I guess, a competitive advantage. But it's a little bizarre during a pandemic where I think we're fortunate to be having college football, and a lot of us thought we won it. But yeah, so I'm assuming you're picking Florida based on what you said.
I think Florida wins by a couple touchdowns. I think it's another shootout.
I got Florida. Yeah, I could see LSU putting up some points. Like their offense doesn't look bad. Eric Gilbert's a beast, by the way. I wish Georgia had gotten him, but their offense looks fine. It's just their defense. Like Florida has a good offense, LSU has a bad defense. That is just a nightmare. Like Florida's going to score 70 points. it's bad. So I'm picking Florida. Like they'll score 70, but they'll give up like 60. That I'm exaggerating. So next game, this one is interesting. Number 14 Auburn, coming off of that big win over Arkansas. That was, I promise you, there's something happened there. Somebody was paid or something, because like Arkansas won that game. Coach Pittman deserves one in the W column there. But number 14 Auburn at South Carolina. Will Muschamp, Mike Bobo, Corey, who you got in this one?
I think that Auburn is finally due for a loss that like totally breaks their fan base's back. So I think it's like the college football gods have had enough with like all the luck and all the calls that Auburn gets and how they're consistently ranked like way higher than they should be. So I think I think South Carolina beats them. I think Will Muschamp, you know, gets the Gamecocks prepared, and the game's in Columbia. I think that plays a huge difference, but that Gamecock sound over and over on third down, I think will just rattle in the ears of Auburn. And then I think Auburn fans start their like bi-decade tradition of, you know, getting their War Eagle feathers all ruffled. And then they like want to fire Gus, but then next year he'll win 9 games and they'll re-sign his contract for like 5 more years. So I think South Carolina win.
Yeah. I hate that you picked South Carolina, because I also picked South Carolina for this one. I feel like South Carolina's due for a big win. Like they're not that bad. You know, they have some good players. They have some good coaches, and they just screw up sometimes, or I don't know. Sometimes their coaches make some boneheaded decisions. But I think South Carolina is due for one. I like you. I think Auburn, I know they think it's the end of the world because they got beat down by Georgia. But people forget how fortunate they were to make it out of the Kentucky game with a win. And then the Arkansas game. So, I mean, that team could easily be 0-3 right now. And they're 2-1. They're number 14 in the country. Yeah, I'm taking South Carolina at home. I don't really care, like, who wins. Like, for me at this point, I typically always pull against Auburn. But at this point, it's like, if they can keep getting lucky and, like, squeeze out these ugly wins against lesser opponents, maybe Gus will keep his job, and then we can just keep this cycle going every year. I think that's, like, the best-case scenario for Georgia. But there's also a part of me that just wants to see it go up in flames totally. But I feel like we're, like, the fact that they're 2-1, like, they've already won two games that they, I think they could have easily or probably should have lost. And so I'm like, why don't we have Auburn win out, except the Georgia and Alabama games, not enough to fire Gus, because Georgia and Alabama are both top three teams right now, enough to keep Gus around, keep kind of the status quo so we can beat them again next year and not have to worry about it. I'm picking South Carolina, though. Next one, so Tennessee, number 18, who Georgia just beat, hosting Kentucky, who should have beat Auburn a couple of weeks ago. I'll just tell you right now, I'm picking Tennessee.
Okay, for the sake of the pod, I'm gonna go against the grain and take Kentucky here. I think Tennessee, well, to be completely honest, I picked Tennessee too, but I'm going to go against you just say Kentucky pulls out an upset, but I don't think it's that big of an upset here. I think Kentucky's actually a lot better than people give them credit for. I think Tennessee kind of falls into a little bit of a slump after, you know, they had that huge high of the halftime of the Georgia game to where, like, their fans think that, you know, this is 98 to them. They're going to get waxed in the second half against UGA and then follow it up with, like, just kind of a sloppy performance against Kentucky, where I feel like it's kind of like our South Carolina game last year, where it's like, next thing you know, you look up mid fourth quarter and, like, you're down by a touchdown and you're like, how did we get here? I feel like it's
how did we get
one
here?
Of those games. I'm taking Kentucky over Tennessee.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the offensive line and defense can kind of carry them in these kind of games, but we'll see what happens. I'd love to see them lose. I will say with Tennessee this last week, I meant to mention this earlier, but at halftime, like, when they stopped us on the goal line, their players, like, rushed the field like they had just won the Natty. Like, they were freaking out. Their fans were freaking out. And their play, it reminded, honestly, the closest thing I can think of is when I went to the Georgia-Kentucky basketball game this last year. And Georgia, like, hit a shot right before half to, you know, like, take the lead and had, like, a 1-point lead over Kentucky at halftime or something. That's probably not right, but they had a lead at halftime, and the players were, like, showboating so much. And, like I remember Anthony just, like, ripping up his jersey and being, like, pointing, you know, just being like, this is our time. Like, now is our time. And I'm like, dude, now is not your time. Now is halftime. You got another half of basketball, and Kentucky's not doing all this stuff. Like, they're just gonna go out and beat your butt in the second half, because that's just what they do. Like, you got to stay focused, you got to be in the moment, you got to have composure. And when Tennessee did that, I was like, oh, they're about to get spanked in the second half. It was kind of, I mean, you remember when Georgia ran out against Alabama and the players were, like, jawing at the Bama players when they were coming out the tunnel and stuff with Mark Richt or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh boy, here we go. But that's kind of how I felt about Tennessee at halftime. I was like, that team doesn't have composure. So, wasn't surprised by what happened in the second half, but would be surprised if Kentucky beat them. Next one is, like, two unranked teams, but, like, I'll be honest, kind of an intriguing unranked matchup between Ole Miss and Arkansas. So it's at Arkansas. This is two coaches who are in their first year at the school. Ole Miss, to me, man, their offense looked phenomenal against Bama. Everyone thinks Bama's defense is really bad. I don't know. I think Matt Corral, or however you say his name, is a stud for Ole Miss. Could have been a dog, by the way. And then Arkansas gave Georgia a hard time, you know, beat a ranked opponent the next week, and then almost beat another ranked opponent the next week. So they're just right there. Like, they're knocking on the door of being relevant, which, I mean, I think you could say the same about Ole Miss. So someone's going to win this game. Someone's going to lose. Corey, who's your pick to win?
I'm taking Ole Miss. I think they just come out pissed off after the Bama game because I don't think they ever actually believed they were going to beat them. But I think, like, if you change a few mistakes they made in that game, they had a lot better chance than the final score reflected. Yeah. So I think they come out pissed off, and I think Lane Kiffin coaches them up to play a lot better than they actually are on the defensive side of the ball against Arkansas. I think that's what makes the difference in this game is I think like Ole Miss's defense does enough to, you know, thwart Felipe Franks in the first half so that their offense can give them a big enough lead, but they just ride it out. So I think Ole Miss wins.
Yeah. Yeah. As mediocre as I think Arkansas is, I do not think they're mediocre enough to win three SEC games in a row. And they won 2 weeks ago, and they basically won this last week, right?
Yes.
I mean, we've hit on this, but it's a win. It's a win. It's just not technically a win. So I'm picking Ole Miss solely because I don't see Arkansas winning three SEC games in a row in Sam Pittman's first year. And they've already won two in a row, even though one of them was a loss. So Ole Miss over Arkansas, that Ole Miss offense, I think they can light up that Arkansas defense. We'll see. Next game, number 11, Texas A&M coming off that big win over Florida, who's somehow one spot in front of them in the polls. That's weird, but number 11, Texas A&M playing on the road at Mississippi State. Mississippi State feels like a team that could beat anybody just because they can just like air it out, like hit some bombs on teams, and then they can like get beat down by anybody too. So I don't trust them enough to pick them. I'm picking Texas A&M, but like, who knows with them? They're a total wild card to me.
The Mississippi State threw 70 passes for 2 points against Kentucky.
That's
like 70 passes and you scored 2 points. So, I mean,
has
I don't know.
Georgia
I
thrown that many passes this season?
Yeah, exactly. It's just so beautiful that in week one, Mike Leach comes out and beats the defending national champion LSU before anyone knew like how mediocre LSU was. So like the storyline is like, air raid, you know, meets SEC, here we go, like Michael Leach, and then since then it's just been the biggest disappointment in the world.
Yeah,
so I think A&M wins this one pretty handily. I don't really know where Mississippi State goes from here, because Mike Leach just says like weird stuff and like stuff that kind of provokes like fans and players in his press conferences, and he basically like said like he wants to know if players actually want to be there or not.
I feel that
might work in the Big 12 where like it's a little bit less caliber of a recruited player, but I'm just wondering how many like SEC level athletes are going to take like crap from this like weird old man before they start kind of remaking. So
before they buy in.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Mike Leach. I love Mike Leach. I hope he stays in the SEC forever, but I'll take Texas A&M too. So last part of our pick six, this feels weird to say. It feels weird to say this matchup with the rankings. You got UNC and Florida State. One of the teams is a top five team in the country in football. Yeah. And it's UNC, which is weird because in basketball last year, like Florida State was top five and right. UNC was like unranked. So they had like Freaky Friday, UNC Florida State edition. Freaky Friday, number five in football, UNC, number five in basketball, Florida State.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Mac Brown listens to the show, but I don't think he took my, you know, retirement talk very lightly last week when I kind of called UNC frauds.
Dude, they had. Go ahead. Yeah, I heard they played your part of the podcast in the locker room before the game.
So that's bulletin board material for me. But I mean, I will say Virginia Tech had 15 players out, so not their full 25 they had the week before. But UNC still outplayed them. You know, they gave up a lot of points late. So I think UNC beats Florida State. I mean, I just don't know where Florida State goes from here. Like, they tried this Mike Norvell, and like, it's just been like story after story for him of like, in the offseason, he like kind of lied to the players about like handling like difficult talks about racism. Yeah. And then he got COVID. Yeah. And then it's like, now Florida State's just as bad as they were before, and they're on like their second or third quarterback this season. So they put up a fight against Notre Dame, but I think UNC kind of puts the nail on the coffin for Florida State's season. And also, like, every fan in the ACC is like, what do we do now when it comes to football and basketball? Because the roles are officially reversed.
Yeah, part of me feels like this is one of those games where, like, Florida State, like, it's like, you know, years where Georgia will play like an unranked Auburn and people are still like, yeah, but it's still Auburn. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Or Georgia, Florida's one where that happens. Georgia right. will be like number three and Florida will be unranked. And people are still like, oh, I don't know though. It's still Florida. Like, this, I mean, Florida usually gets us, so they'll probably still win. Florida State, UNC, it's like at some point it's like the universe is gonna like wake up and be like, wait a second, no, we can't let UNC beat Florida State in football. Like, this is just wrong. UNC is not a football school, and Florida State, like, they are. And like, what happened here, like a couple years ago, they were the best team we'd ever seen. So I think I could see Florida State like getting their one like good win, especially since UNC's probably not as good as they're ranked.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with the Tar Heels. I'm gonna go with them to stay hot. I will say this, their quarterback is a baller. He is a baller. So go Heels beating Florida State. Sorry, Rusty. I got a friend Rusty who's a big FSU fan, and he is if you know Rusty, I'd shoot him a text. Just reach out to him. He's going through a tough time with Florida State football.
All right, that wraps up part two of Alabama Week, but we still have part three to go. We'll do the extra point where Corey and I talk Georgia, Alabama, make a pick for that one. And also Billy Bennett, the kicker who kicked Georgia to their first win in Bryant-Denny Stadium in 2002, is joining the show. He's going to talk about his story since his time at Georgia, and we're also going to talk some football as always. So that one's dropping Friday. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Savage Pads for all of our content, and subscribe and go Dawgs.